I would suggest people really start now and try to make a point of getting either to some meetings where, like this, where there's some intercropping subjects. Also, it sounds strange, but get on Twitter, because there's conversations being had between farmers to do with research and then putting whatever research reports are available onto Twitter. Right now, given that we don't have the infrastructure and the real organization behind this intercropping, that's kind of where it's the information's been informally disseminated.
What's the hashtag that would be easiest to track all this information down?
A hashtag intercrop innovators, one word, that I've been using. So whenever I see people doing research or farmers talking about their intercrops or asking questions about their intercrops, then I'll try to retweet it with that hashtag. And other people are using it too. That helps to connect people to either sources of information or people that can maybe answer their questions. And it's amazing how helpful people are willing to be, because you know, farmers are spending their time helping to teach other farmers how to do this, how to be more profitable, how to do intercropping, and I think that's very commendable.
It seems like a good idea, but is there, I guess, issues with producers, you know, wondering, you know, how complicated it's going to be, either with the seeding rates or with the separating or the harvesting? Do you get a lot of those types of questions?
Yeah, I get a lot of questions from people, so they call me and ask me lots of questions, and I'm generally have time and willingness to try to answer what I can. There's a necessary willingness to fail in a controlled way when you're trying something this experimental. So you have to be able to absorb those things and get the best information you can, and then make adjustments and go ahead next year with, you know, a little bit better information based on your location and whatever you've tried. And that's just good farming, to just be able to say, okay, this kind of worked, I can see what I need to improve on, and next year I'm going to tweak it and try something else. It's kind of fun way to farm, because it's not just a recipe that you follow, it's more adaptive. So when you talk about like adaptive grazing, this is kind of an adaptive cropping system that we're still developing.
This is a multiple year project before you actually get the full hang of it. It takes a little bit of experimentation on your particular farm, because what may work for someone else may not necessarily work the exact same way on your farm.
Yes. So it's regional. It's a good idea if people can start relatively small, and very often people ignore me and then go plant 3,000 acres. But for the logistics of seeding, for figuring out which varieties or seeding rates work on your soil, on your area, it is a good idea to start on kind of a smallish basis, like 40 or 80 acres, and then try to work up from there. And you also have to figure out how you're going to separate it. So if you can start with a smaller amount, then you don't have what seems like an insurmountable task to separate it all.
Can this be done in all areas of the province? I think you've done 25 on your research farm.
Yeah, so I think there are combinations that would work anywhere in Saskatchewan. Like, I've been up to the Peace River area, Kennewick, Washington, and down into the states down at Fargo, and all around in Saskatchewan, a bunch of places. And once you start that conversation, well, what could grow in your area, and start brainstorming this up, there's very often something that you can do. And maybe some of it ends up being more suitable as a mixed feed, like pea and barley, that gets used as a mixed feed instead of trying to separate it, because that could be difficult and expensive. Something like a chickpea flax isn't going to work everywhere, but like a camelina and pea might work in most places in Saskatchewan, or an oat and pea might work in most places in Saskatchewan. So that's something I'm trying to find out.
There are a lot of production benefits, but right now, is there a little hesitancy in regards to the bottom line, the profit margin that could be generated from this?
I think when times are tough, that's when people make changes. And when they're comfortable, they don't. So profitability tends to be an attraction for intercropping. So we'll see what happens if the acres keep going up and I keep getting inundated with calls all winter. Then I guess, you know, we'll see what happens.